Time now for the College Basketball Inquirer with Dan Wetzel.
The more kids, the more of these top guys go to a school other than Georgia, Alabama, Ohio State, and whatever one else you want to pick, spreads out the talent.
Yep.
With SI's Pat Forney.
Again, there are some schools at the forefront of both football and basketball that have been slow on the draw on NIL, and we'll see if it comes back to hurt
them. Here's Pat and Dan.
Welcome to the pod. Lots going on. Sweet 16. We're going to pick all eight games. We got to get some NIL, both in college football and in college basketball. We have got an update on the Pusha T fish dish.
Escalation.
A mystery. We got a lot going on with that. Arby's versus McDonald's on the Filet-O-Fish. How can you expect us to trust a square fish? Truly one of the
I mean, you know,
can't argue with
point.
That.
Got a point.
Update on our pool. I believe I'm in sixth place, according to Sully, but I can't remember what name I entered under.
Can't remember what name
the listener pool. I think I'm in sixth place right now.
You're
in tied for 32nd.
I don't find this to be accurate.
Sully, you're in 45th, and you've got Tennessee and Kentucky out.
Yeah,
I'm killing you guys.
Are we using like? Is this? I'm alleging voter fraud and ballot stuffing and all kinds of other machinations here.
Stop the steal.
There's a bunch of people in this group, and there's taps. There's all sorts of names that, and I was just like, all right, I'm just gonna wait until I
get our identity was stolen, by our listeners in the listener pool. But I like to say that who's in first, because that might be me.
It is Craig Kramer.
Yes, Craig, that's it, Craig Kramer. That's what I entered under. Craig Kramer. Uh-huh. That was it.
Jody is in second, and Kevin's super bracket is also tied. There's a bunch of people tied for second right now.
Okay. I don't trust any of it. My picks have been good. How am I tied for 31st?
32nd. No. 32nd.
Whatever.
Not 31st.
Maybe I altered my picks badly for our bracket. But anyway, I'll make a comeback. I've got all my final four left. I know that.
Yeah, you have out the possible points. You have 161, which would win the pool.
There, ooh. See, okay.
How many do I have?
144. So
I have a much as in every other aspect of life, I have a higher ceiling than you do.
How's the view from back there? And and as in everything else in life, you fail to live up to your potential.
Sometimes it's better to be a high floor, low ceiling person. I understand that.
All right. Biggest news since the NCAA basketball tournament ended, in my opinion, was St. Peter's star, breakout star, even though he's not even a starter, Doug Eddard. Guy shoots threes and grows a mustache.
That's all he does. What else do you need to do?
Well, he also sells Buffalo Wild Wings. He's got an NIL deal with BW3. And if you haven't seen the picture, this is one of the great NIL deals of all time.
It is an awesome
It's picture. Just him sitting at this kind of regular-looking Formica table with a bunch of BW3s in front of him. He's got the fries. Looks like he's got six different types of wings. He's just holding one up. His hair's a mess. He's wearing a black T-shirt. There's a thermostat behind him. It's like the corner of like a
it's like the a corner dorm. Of his apartment in Jersey City.
Yeah.
You know?
It's great.
Like, and the boxes of the food are like all greasy and everything. You know,
exactly
like,
made me hungry.
Yeah, it did make me hungry too. But the presentation is not like, you know, the New York Times food section.
Also, our man went bone in, and it looks like he's got a lot of good flavors going on, and they definitely hooked him up. Because sometimes my issue with B-dubs is they skimp on the sauces, and it can kind of get a little light, especially if you start going like lemon pepper and more of the seasoning sauces, and they really can skimp you. So he went all in, and I'm enjoying the setup of his, honestly. It looks like he's got some hot in there, maybe some Parmesan garlic Good selection.
We've clearly got the BW connoisseur here in Sully.
Yeah, that was impassioned. That was the most passionate I've heard Sully speak about anything.
But it's a fine collection. BW, they sometimes their wings are a little bit just kind of flabby. I want them a little more crisp, you know? Mm-hmm. So, but Doug Eddard, you score 20 against Kentucky and knock out Kentucky. I think you've earned your way to getting some NIL. Good for you.
I want to know what Kevin Pittsnoggle would have got. How much money? Man. Kevin Pittsnoggle is somewhere roaming around West Virginia going, how much BW? I could have had a lifetime of BW3s.
Yeah.
I love it. This is NIL at its best. I think even the critics of NIL, the sky is falling NIL people are in on this. Like,
how could you not be?
Right. Random St. Peter's sixth man gets national chicken wing deal.
Right. You know, and maybe all it is like all the wings you want for a year or something. So what? It's awesome. Right.
That's a lot of wings on you that age.
Yeah. Not going to take that. That's a free meal for a long time.
After the season's over, I would be there every single day if I were Doug Eddard.
So tremendous on that. However, NIL is rearing. It's engulfed in controversy. The big news in college football, Tennessee gets five-star QB Nico Iamaleava from Long Beach Poly. Five-star, one of the top 3-4 quarterbacks in the country. You got Arch Manning, who we obviously have been dealing with. We have Malachi Nelson, who's committed to USC after previously being committed to Oklahoma. Dante Moore out of Detroit, you know, might be Notre Dame, might be Michigan, might be who knows where.
Getting a lot of attention from schools in the South lately, too. A
lot of schools in the South. Kid can play. I've seen him play. He's tremendous. And now we have Nico. So, however, the big story here is a couple weeks ago, The Athletic put out a story that there was a deal on the table for somebody in California for an NIL deal that would pay like $350,000 up front. And then over the course of as many as 4 years could hit $8 million in incentives. So it was an $8 million deal to go play at college football somewhere. Is that an accurate story? I certainly trust The Athletic, but you never know. That could be someone showing you a contract. You don't know if that's been rendered. You don't know if the thing's legal. You don't. There's a lot of questions on it. And we don't know who it goes to. But here you got a guy going from L.A. to Tennessee. For potentially $8 million. So let's start with this. Are you concerned about this, Pat?
I guess I would have to decide what concern means. It's an unbelievable number, a huge number. And really, I guess my concern isn't so much, is this a pure recruiting inducement? That's for the NCAA to figure out. And if they do figure it out and arrive at an actual cogent and enforceable set of rules, then yeah, people should play by them. Until we get to that point, I mean, whatever. You know, this is very much an ask forgiveness, not permission point in time in college athletics. The bigger concern to me is, are you going to warp this kid's future throwing $8 million at him? Is he ready to handle that? What's the amount of pressure that's being put on him, and how's he going to respond to it, and will he live up to it? And then what happens if he doesn't? Does everybody, you know, jump down his throat? I mean, we saw Spencer Rattler get two cars and not do very well. Now, is those two things related? I don't know, but sometimes piling money on 18-year-olds has adverse effects, as much as they may enjoy the money or the family may enjoy the money.
I agree with all that. I just think that should be the right of the player and the family to refuse or accept, right?
Sure.
I don't need to be the nanny state on him.
Yeah.
On that. He'll be paid $350 almost immediately. This is just unnamed five-star recruit. Followed by monthly payouts escalating to more than $2 million a year once he begins his college career in exchange for making public appearance, taking part in social media and other NIL activities. So this is a collective. This isn't one thing. He could also probably get additional NIL if Buffalo Wild Wings wants to throw him some wings. They can do it too. I'll be interested to see where the market hits on these. This does not bother me at all. Whether it ruins the kid or not, that's up to him. Lots of kids get ruined at college. Okay,
not only college though, but you got 18-year-old kids getting drafted to the MLB and the NBA too now,
so. And the NHL and yeah,
and the NHL. So it happens.
Whatever.
It's true. That's true. No.
Right. Suni Lee, Yep. Won the gold. You know, I mean, the pressure is enormous all over the place. So it just is what it is. I'm fine with it. It will work or not. Is this a good deal for, let's say this is Tennessee, okay? Let's say Tennessee did this. They set this up, not the university, but this collective on the side. Is this a good idea? You mentioned Spencer Rattler. I mean, I'm looking back at the Rivals QBs from the class of 2019. Spencer Rattler would have gotten that kind of a deal. Jaden Daniels, DeJuan Mathis, KJ Jefferson.
Yeah.
Taysom, I cannot pronounce this kid's last name. He went to Clemson. Those are the dual threats.
Yep.
I mean, these are the top five guys. Jordan Yates. Okay, so somebody could have paid that kind of money. Pro style in class of 2019. Bo Nix, Graham Mertz, Ryan Helinski, Sam Howell, Dylan Morris, Hank Bachmeier.
Yeah, you want to give $8 million to any of those guys?
Yeah, but you put on the highlight tape of this kid, and granted, I've watched 2 minutes of him, and you tell me if you're going to give – he's better than Bo Nix after three plays. This kid is 6'6", 205, and this is no Bo Nix.
You can find three really good plays from Bo Nix.
Oh, like, you absolutely can, but this is no Bo Nix now. Let's just right.
– Well, you don't know that.
No, you don't know that at all.
Year to year, they're going to bid on
– whether that's
– You want to know who the number – Okay,
Bo
he's
Nix
number
– is not 6'6", 205 and runs like this and can throw across his body like this.
Okay, okay. Who could? DJ Uiagalelei. Yeah. And now does anybody want to give him $8 million? Nobody's sure he's going to be the starter.
You want to know who?
I'm just saying.
You want to know who the number four quarterback in 2018 from Rivals was? Mm-hmm. Who was 6'6"? Tanner McKee.
Okay. Yeah.
Went there to Stanford. Go.
Yeah.
Now it's hit or miss. Okay.
Yeah. Oh, it's I'm not arguing that, but this
number
kid is
one
a
that year.
Different.
Number one, Trevor Lawrence, JT yeah. Daniels, right. Matt Worth Corral, feeling. Right? Tanner, Jack Tuttle, all right? Dual threat that year, 2018.
I'm just saying you're naming off a lot of names and not all of them are consensus. So
Justin Fields.
The consensus between the three big guys, the hit rate on that is very high.
Well, how about Joey Gatewood?
Yeah, there you go. Could be Joey Gatewood.
Yeah.
I'm looking at this. This is 2018. Justin Fields, okay, but he didn't even go, didn't stay at Georgia. DTR, UCLA, Joey Gatewood, Justin Rogers at TCU, Phil Jurkovec, who started at Notre Dame, is now at Boston College. Emory Jones is sixth. I mean, it will be interesting to see how high this goes, what a guy is worth. I wish all these guys do great, but a lot of quarterbacks transfer for every, I mean, of that whole list, who didn't transfer? Trevor Lawrence, Matt Corral, and like
about
anybody
it.
Else? Yeah, Graham Mertz has not transferred. Bachmeier,
but
Howell
Mertz,
didn't. Yeah. But I mean, again, there's the money. So I don't know. I don't know what number this is getting at. The issue is, and this is what's got a lot of people fired up, is this is just a straight inducement to go play at Tennessee. If this is the actual thing. Now, there have been inducements, not, of course, at Tennessee. We know they would never.
Never. Not in McDonald's bags or otherwise.
Never, ever.
Hey, we've switched to Hardee's bags now, okay?
There's always been inducements. To me, this is what I've always said. It's going to spread out the talent. This is the first time in a very long time that Tennessee has gotten a five-star quarterback. They got a kid from California to go to Tennessee. Everyone, guess who's a California quarterback starting at Ohio State, Clemson, Alabama?
Alabama, yeah.
You know, JT Daniels ended up at Georgia. Like, he goes to Tennessee. Last year, what was one of the top recruiting classes or number one or two? Texas A&M. They had never recruited that well. People, they just bought all their – that's fine. The more kids, the more of these top guys go to a school other than – Georgia, Alabama, Ohio State, and whatever one else you want to pick spreads out the talent.
Yep.
Now, is he worth this money? I would say this about Nico. He's worth a lot, even if he doesn't pan out, because he should bring other really good recruits with him. He will create enormous excitement in recruiting because Tennessee can walk around now going, hey, we got the guy. You want to come? You want to catch passes here?
Right.
We got an NFL quarterback coming. And that is what those guys can do for you. Now, certain schools get it running so good, it doesn't matter. But players want to play with other great players, especially receivers, tight ends, all of that. when you've got a quarterback, they do it. Even the NFL, it's like you want to sign where there's a good quarterback, right? There's a lot more interest in going to play in Cleveland right now for Deshaun Watson than when Baker Mayfield was throwing you passes. So he has value beyond whether he even completes a pass.
No.
Because he could bring in other players. So
it does.
Probably worth it for Tennessee no matter what. The inducement doesn't matter to me. If it's a bunch of Tennessee fans, not my money, want to pay a kid in Long Beach, Poly, $350,000 right off the kick, cool.
Right. In the unstructured environs in which we're in, yeah, do what you can do. And then we'll see how the NCAA responds, if they respond. But yeah, the caveat emptor, buyer beware, is going to be significant in all of these situations. And we can go back and look at how many schools, when it was fully illegal to pay players anything, how many schools spent incredible amounts of money on players who sucked, you know, or just weren't good enough or didn't stay or got hurt or whatever. You know, one of the big ironies of Kentucky getting darn near the death penalty in a 2-year postseason ban in the late 80s was that the guy they were cheating for was Chris Mills, who was pretty good player, but that was it. Like, you know what? You did that for Chris Mills? And then you went, I mean, you can go through scandal after scandal and bad evaluations by the bagmen. Those can hurt you. If your bagmen are bad evaluators or you're telling them bad players to pay, doesn't work out very well. But now, as we've said before, the embarrassment is more public because everybody knows who you're paying.
Interesting. Yeah. And paying early, like, it is not uncommon for kids to start getting a stipend early. They may not get a $350,000 drop. Payments to parents early.
Yeah.
Lock them up early.
Right.
Man, and I'll tell you this story. This happened a while. This is a long time ago when I covered college basketball. Because kind of in the middle, I knew I could not report this story because I was kind of in the middle of the story. But this is a true story. There was a recruit in the South, committed to the state school as like a sophomore, junior. Very good basketball player, but not, you know, not number one player or anything. And the school was paying his parents, his mom's, electric, gas, car, paying all the bills. Was how somebody associated with the school was paying all the bills. Senior year comes along, he doesn't want to go there anymore. He takes a visit to a different school. And on the visit, word comes out he's committed and he's going to flip. And he's going to this other school. And within 24 hours, the electricity is off.
Yeah.
In mom's house.
Oh, yeah. No, I've heard the same story very recently. Well, within the last 3 or 4 years with a football player in the South where, yeah. It was with the phone, though. By the time he got back from the visit he wasn't supposed to take.
No more phone, yeah. Phone is one, too. That used to be a big one, yeah.
Yep.
We'll shut off your phone so no one can call you. Right, you're out. Mom now is in the dark and getting told if this commitment, this flip sticks through, it's going to get cold.
Right.
Yeah. And you try figuring it out. You try getting the money to pay the back. But whatever the heck is going on, kid ends up staying at the school and never panned out. So this stuff gone on for a long time, and that's hell of a lot worse than this.
Because
that's all like so shady. The people are blackmailed. They can't say a word.
That's one thing that this is better about is at least you can't strong arm people behind the scenes, at least not as much theoretically, right?
Theoretically. You
know, these sort of dirty deals, dirty tactics can't go on. Now, they go both ways too. I remember a story, basketball player in the South who was going to go to the big state school in his state, committed, took the money, then turned pro. And the intermediary who made the deal had to like go to the family's house and say, look, I got to get their money back.
Right, right, right.
They gave you $60,000. I need the $60,000 or at least as much of it as you still have.
Yeah, it goes both ways. Quinn Ewers got his bag and went to Texas.
Yep.
So all of this can happen. I don't know why they worked this out. So that part is there too. This is the example. Tennessee's got money. Were they getting top recruits? Also, if Nico's only going to Tennessee because of this money, he's getting offered by other people. That's stupid. He's going because he thinks Josh Heupel can help him get to the league.
Yeah, they broke 8 offensive records in year one.
So. Yeah, I mean, this is good money, but Deshaun Watson just got $230 million guaranteed.
Yeah, right.
Despite having 22 sexual assault allegations against him. Okay, so... This is short money. It's big money, though, but it's short money. But I think his value to Tennessee goes beyond whether he actually completes a pass, because they will get other good players. There is a lot of people going to be excited about Tennessee football because of this. And now, yes, is there enormous pressure for him to deliver even more than other five, when you're a five-star recruit? Because now people are like, oh, this is the guy who made $8 million. Well, we don't know that. Did he? We don't. There's a lot of things we don't know. But that's going to be a pressure on top of that. But this is the situation. I just don't see it as the end of the world, because a kid, a five-star quarterback shows Tennessee rather than shows Clemson or Alabama, or the money that was spent goes to the family in Long Beach rather than building a mini golf course in the football facility or an opulent indoor waterfall.
Yeah.
Try to entice them. Everything's an enticement. You know who spends the most money, spent the most money last year on recruiting, who had the highest recruiting budget, and let's just say all legal? Georgia.
Yeah.
Guess who had the best players? Georgia, right? Everything's an enticement.
Yep.
So, cool. Some family in California is sitting around eating some good steak right now.
They're bypassing the BW3 for the steak, yes. So, no, it's better for the overall competitive balance of the sport, and it does get money into better places and in a more above board, transparent fashion. I just hope it works out for the young man.
I hope it works out, but again, lots of people, it doesn't work out for whatever reason. But yes, we all hope it works out. But I just think, yeah. And then if somebody else wants to pony up and get a guy, they can pony up and get a guy. Every school's got money. Yeah. Every school.
They're worth what somebody's willing to pay you. And if some school's out there looking at you as an $8 billion man, go for it. And what he's supposed to be, they're going to get that number in jersey sales alone.
Yeah. And my guess is of this supposed $8 million, because it says it increases. This is the athletic story says he'll be paid $350 almost immediately, followed by monthly payouts escalating to more than $2 million per year once he begins his college career. So I don't know if that's freshman year or like, hey, if you're still here as a junior and you're our Trevor Lawrence, mm-hmm. now you're making $3 million of the $8
million. Right. And that would be a much more wisely constructed deal from the player's standpoint. You know, like, let's make sure you can really do it before we throw this much money at you.
Yeah, right. So now it's like, hey, all right, you've started all that, very incentive laden and all of that. I don't know. It's good. This is going to be wild, but I just don't see it as a total disaster. All right. Also, an interesting development per Nicole Arbach at the Athletic. Adidas is launching its own NIL network. It will be open to every eligible student athlete at Adidas partner Division I schools. It will allow athletes to become Adidas influencers, essentially. The NIL network has an ability to reach over 50,000 athletes across 23 sports. The opportunity to become a paid brand ambassador for Adidas applies to more than 50,000 college athletes across all sports and genders. The program will first roll out at HBCU schools and in Power 5 leagues. So Adidas, and this is basically the heart of the FBI trial, is paying players to go to Adidas schools, mm-hmm. which is the Brian Bowen situation.
Yeah.
Okay, this is the whole thing. They're now doing it above table. I am expecting Nike and Under Armour will be next very quickly.
It only makes sense, right? Here's my question. It's all extremely vague. You know, what you need to do to get the money, who gets the money? Is this like, you know, will it be the guy averaging 20 points a game gets $250,000, the guy averaging 5 points a game gets some gear or what? I don't know how that's going to work. But
if you're the cross country runner at Kansas, don't expect a big NIL.
Unless you got a million followers on Instagram.
Unless you got a million followers.
Right. Right. Yes. Yeah. But your three stripe life is not going to be much different than your already current life.
Right. This goes back to my point a couple weeks ago about why somebody should hire a woman to coach a men's team. Adidas is trying to sell shoes. This is corporate America, right?
Yep.
So what's one of the carve outs there? HBCU.
Right.
Okay. That's a brand. They want to be brands want to be associated with HBCUs. They want to be associated with women's sports. If I'm an Adidas school or I'm a Nike school, I'll put it this way. My alma mater, UMass, fired its coach, McCall.
Matt McCall.
I don't care. they've gone like 0-16. I had a friend of mine who's very involved. They're like, they've missed on 16 straight candidates or something for the men's job so far.
I was going to say they fired him a long time ago. And they
nobody wants the job.
Made that hire, yeah.
I don't know. I think they're a Nike school. If not, they're in Adidas school, whatever. They got a shoe deal somewhere. I'm going to one of these guys.
Russell Athletic.
And I'm saying we're going to be the pioneers. Yeah, Russell, LA gear. Crocs.
Cads, pro cads, yes.
We got the Velcros. Velcros. So you
get Skechers. Yeah, those Reeboks had the Velcro back. Remember, Reebok were actually hot for a while. That was
Velcro good. Shoes are huge when you got like a 3-year-old.
The Swiss, right? Velcro.
Best things ever. That was awesome. Best invention ever is not having to tie a little kid's shoe. Just Velcro. Anyway, somebody ought to do this, because if Nike and Adidas have collectives and can do whatever they want, they're basically saying, we're going to buy recruits for our school.
Yeah.
And you say, hey, we're the school. We're the one that will sell you more merch, because we're going to be a pioneering team. Or you could be UMass, close your eyes and huck a dart at one of like 63 unproven assistant coaches somewhere and hope one of them turns out to be John Calipari too. Yeah. You tell me what's a better deal. I ain't talking, and they're not going to get like Don Staley, obviously, right? But I mean, what is a better business plan than my plan or that plan?
Your plan always, Dan. Always.
Always correct. What do you got to lose? You suck. Well, just cheer for the hockey team. We gave up on basketball. Somebody's got to do this. They're dying to buy you players. How do you think Coach Prime's going to do with this?
So it's going to be unbelievable.
Like, he was calling out, he's spicy. He was calling out the NFL teams that didn't show up to their pro days yesterday.
Was he really?
Yeah, it was awesome. Named him out on Twitter. It's like, why are you not here? You're going to go to Mississippi State and Ole Miss.
Good for him.
But yeah,
he might not have any players. This is significant.
When you are at a marketing disadvantage, find a way to create an advantage. Why not do something like that? I, as we discussed regarding Dawn Staley, and she's an outlier. I mean, you have to get a woman coach who can, if you decide to get a woman coach, it has to be somebody who can sell herself, obviously.
And I don't know that. I don't follow it close enough. I'm just saying, right. I would be looking into this. Is a wide open thing. I want in on that.
Yeah.
Some of these schools, especially a mid-major, cannot figure out a way to ever have a collective that'll pay enough, or they got too many sports for their, you know, it's an opportunity. Let's just put it that way.
Sure.
Especially when you're not dealing with like, hey, what's our, do we have any good, do I think like Seton Hall should do it? No, they should hire Sheen Hallway.
Yeah.
Okay. Right. They're going to hire Sheen Hallway.
Yeah.
Should, you know, but if you're just sitting there going, we ain't got anybody else. Like, at what point do you say, hey, this is an advantage, not just an obligation?
Right. No, exactly. And that goes back to somewhat to the intrinsic reticence of the schools to even embrace NIL or embrace a different business model. There's some schools that are still resistant to it. It's very interesting to me. And some of the more successful programs, because I think a lot of them think, well, we don't have to. But eventually, yes, you have to embrace NIL. You have to embrace collectives. You have to find ways. And then, yeah, if you are at the lower end of the shoe hierarchy, boy, yeah, I'd be trying to find ways to jump on this for sure. I mean,
I don't know. Find a way to climb. This is really big for basketball.
Yeah.
Because this is basically what they set up, 25 years ago, or if not longer, I guess even longer. It's what Sonny Vaccaro was doing in the 70s.
Oh, yeah, sure. It goes right back that far. And then things escalated in the 80s and 90s. Yeah.
Yes. Yeah. Lane Kiffin got called a clown by Jimbo Fisher, basically saying Texas A&M bought all its players. You know, he points out like it's like after free agency, people saying like, oh, you know, Buffalo Bills saying we just signed Von Miller, and saying it had nothing to do with the millions we're going to pay him. He just really loved Buffalo. OK, I mean, it was part of it. He wanted to go play for Buffalo, but he also was getting paid. Kiffin's point, I just say how it is. I could call it a clown before saying how it is. NIL has a lot to do where players go. So, again, I just think this is a retilting of the board.
It is.
So, if you're a power school and you think you've got it made, this is a disruptor.
Yep. There are some schools at the forefront of both football and basketball that have been slow on the draw on NIL, and we'll see if it comes back to hurt them. Because I think they feel like they don't have to. They've already got things the way they want it, but you can't keep things the way they are in this current climate. And that's where you got to, all of a sudden, Tennessee hadn't been very relevant for a long time. That could be a game changer, and you got to pay attention to that.
The last consensus five-star quarterback Tennessee signed was James Banks in 2002, and the kid played wide receiver. He was a stud wide receiver, but got kicked off the team for faking drug tests. And so you got to go pack to Peyton Manning.
Yeah. So, and then again, that's also some of the risk inherent on paying five stars sight unseen, or at least sight in your school's uniform unseen.
And even if he never makes it to campus, you know what's a bigger waste of money? A year ago, Tennessee paid Kevin Steele, former Auburn assistant, $860,000, 860870, to work for less than 2 months as the interim head coach.
Mm-hmm.
$860,000 to do nothing at a time when nothing was going on.
Yeah. I think his whole job then was like, okay, how many NCAA inquiry forms do we have to fill out here? Compliance.
And we're worried about this.
Yeah. How much did Phil Fulmer get to go away after doing a very poor job?
Fulmer's the one who gave him that contract.
Yeah, right. No, I know.
Yeah. I mean, so it's like, oh my God, what an unbelievable, look at all this money. Yeah, look at that.
Yeah.
2 months, he did nothing. He wasn't ever coached a game or led a practice. Now he's at Miami. You know, it's good. I hope he's got a sweet little beach house. All right, one last thing about football. Spring practices have begun. Everyone's looking great.
Everyone
is looking good.
Trope season.
Yes.
Everybody.
None better than this.
Great job in the weight room. They're bigger. They're faster. They're stronger.
Yep. Great motivation. Great group.
Culture. Culture is great.
But this tweet, this tweet from a media, a apparent unbiased media member named Colin Coward, who I like Colin, been lucky, fortunate enough to be a guest on a show many times. Good. Yeah. He's funny. But I don't know if he's taking on the part of like the Lincoln Riley USC, like, information director, like, or what was that guy? The Iraqi.
Yeah. Iraqi, Baghdad Bob.
Yeah. Baghdad Bob or like what, or he's just channeling his inner Trump, who we know has been, prone to maybe overstatement. Colin Coward tweet: sources tell me at Lincoln Riley, first USC practice was flawless. One observer noted, quote, "Some are calling it the greatest practice ever on a college campus.
Greatest show on turf."
Not greatest show on turf. Greatest practice ever on a college campus. An off-campus practice, like when they went Junction Boys, that was probably better.
Yeah.
When Brian took them to Junction. NFL practices are better. No, I mean, I think he's just, it's just hysterics. First off, multiple sources.
Yeah.
And one observer noted some.
I mean, you've been to every practice around the nation. Observed multiple practices at a time.
On campus. Only on campus.
On campus. You're right.
I took this to be 100% tongue-in-cheek.
Colin's
hilarious. Hilarious.
It's a great line.
Yeah. Yeah. Especially, yes, the part many are calling it. I mean, it is straight out of the Trump playbook. Many people are saying.
Some are calling it. Okay, yeah. Not many. Some. Some are calling it. Yeah, absolutely phenomenal line. But apparently they're ready. I was looking at the comments. They're just great. Sure. So some guy goes, I think they'll beat the 86 Bears. Another guy responds, well, those guys are all like in their 70s and Walter Payton died. So probably.
Yeah.
I would hope USC.
Down bunch, this would be a good time to play them. The 86 Bears.
It's a good time to play the 86. We're better than the 86 Bears. Aren't we all at this point?
Schedule.
Anyway, so the USC, it's good. They're back. All right, let's pick some March Madness. I'm in sixth place and doing well.
This is just preposterous. I'm sorry.
Win some games and then you'll catch them, I swear.
Completely fraudulent.
I can't hear you from 32nd place. I can't hear you. If Jody and what was the other guy, Craig, and those guys want to talk, I'll listen.
This is...
Pat, no.
Ridiculous. Utterly ridiculous.
And Sully, 45. How many people entered this thing?
150 something.
All right. We've got a following. We have a community.
Look, we have a community. We're building a community here.
We need
buzzwords.
Yeah.
Buzzword.
Start with
Hooray Ames versus the U. Hooray Ames versus the U. Canes are giving 2.5. Over under is 135.5. Pat, who you got?
Canes. Look, hooray
Canes or Ames?
Canes, as in hurry, as in not the water people, as in not the fraudulent singers, as in not the middle American darlings. No. Miami. Iowa State. God bless them for getting this far. It's awesome. You know, it's an incredible rebound from last year. New coach T.J. Osselberg has done phenomenally well. They cannot score. I'm not sure they could score on air. I don't know if they could score 70 points playing nobody. So I am taking the Hurricanes to end this. And I think Iowa State and St. Peter's really are the only two teams in the field that can't win at all.
St. Peter can't win at all.
That's what I'm going with.
They got a bunch of guys from New Jersey and New York City.
Yeah, there's a lot of people from New York. When was the last time somebody from New York and New Jersey won at all?
It's one of the great fallacies. Yeah, New York guards are the only tough guards.
That's right. Yeah, exactly.
Sully, who you got?
Give me the Canes. I really liked that first-round matchup between USC and Miami, and whoever was going to come out of that matchup was going to beat Auburn, was going to go on a pretty big run, and, I'm picking the Canes as well.
Sully, play the song.
You're taking the clones?
I didn't say that yet.
Okay.
I want this song to be ringing out Campus Town. Is that what they call it? Campus Town, I think.
Your guess is as good as mine.
BNC Fieldhouse, Mickey's Irish Pub, Mother's Pub.
This is the Campus Town Hangouts?
Campus Town Hangouts. I want it blaring. I want it up and down Ames. I even want over in the old people section of Ames. I want Hooray Ames going. Number 3 school in the state.
When it comes to water, you can have the tap water names, or you can have Biscayne Bay, South Florida. Come on. I'll take Miami and the quality of
water. So I want you to play the song and enjoy the moment, because Miami's going to beat you.
Okay. All right. There you go.
I'd do it. I'd pick Iowa State, but I got a chance to win this thing. So I'm sixth place. I have a responsibility.
Mm.
All right. Carolina versus UCLA. Two of the great uniforms, traditions, the whole bit.
Yeah. That's a CBS dream Friday night match.
It doesn't get a lot better than this. Yeah. Bruins given 2.5. Over under 141.5.
Oh, man. Oh, I'll take UCLA. We'll keep believing in the Bruins. They know how to win at this time of year, and sure enough, they're doing it. A lot of people have called it, so it might not give you a whole lot of points in your pool, but putting money down, I would take the Bruins, lay the points.
Yeah, I'm taking the Bruins. The warning flag there, Jaime Jaquez, they're excellent forward wing player, tough as nails. Didn't practice yesterday. We'll see if he's going to be ready for that game, but Mick Cronin kind of likes to talk up injuries. So I think Jaime Jaquez, he's going to have to be like in a coma to not play this game. He's a battler, and they do know how to win close games. That is what UCLA has done last year and this year in the tournament. And one thing I would do if I were Mick Cronin between Sunday and when this game tips off, I'd work on some full court press, because North Carolina can't handle it. My God, their press offense was a disaster against Baylor. Now, they were being fouled on every single possession, but golly, they couldn't handle the ball. They couldn't pass. They couldn't find open players. Oh, so I would work some pressure up against Carolina and see if they can handle it any better, because that was a glaring weakness.
UCLA, Carolina's late season resurgence ends here. They did great. Beat Duke, made it to Sweet 16, about as good as you could expect. UCLA is legit. All right, moving to Philly. St. Peter's versus Purdue. I saw a video today of Purdue Pete doing the Rocky video.
Of course, on the steps of the
Man, he's an museum. Ugly bastard.
He was not, they had not made it to Philly yet. He did not run up the steps of the art museum.
Okay.
He simply went up like 6 steps on the Purdue campus.
There we go.
Nothing on the Purdue campus is taller than 12 feet.
That's true. Well, they got a giant statue of a Boilermaker dude with a hammer. That's okay, the only thing true. Taller than 12
feet. He took a hammer to the speed bag, too. We have many problems with Purdue. First, they lie. They lie about their drum being the world's biggest when it is not, and it's disrespectful to the South Koreans. I also find Purdue to be extremely arrogant in the fact that they think that they are in West Lafayette when Lafayette is too small to have a West. Don't try to get uppity and call it West Lafayette. It's just Lafayette.
You're antagonizing a large fan base of relatively nice people.
They are nice people, and they're good astronauts. And if you need somebody to design like your electric vehicle, these are your people. So why are you getting all uppity and pretending there's a West Lafayette? The whole damn place is like 12 blocks wide.
Blame it on the Tippecanoe River. That's what runs through there and divides Lafayette and West Lafayette. So
it doesn't divide anything. It just runs through Lafayette. I will not succumb to this geographic elitism. You're from Lafayette. They're taking on St. Peter's. I mean, how many chicken wings did these guys eat this week after the free Buffalo Wild Wings order came in? But Philly is going to love St. Peter's. Purdue is giving 12.5. Over-under is 135. Pat?
Well, I wouldn't be shocked if St. Peter's covers the number. They're not going to win. They're going to have a very hard time covering 7'4", 295, Zach Edey, and 6'10", 250, Trevion Williams. But, you know, Purdue, I'm picking Purdue to go to the Final Four. I'm sticking with that. Ride or die with the Boilermakers. But they're not necessarily playing on a level right now where they're just crushing people. So Purdue will win. If we're picking to cover, I can't go with St. Peter's in the Sweet 16. Purdue wins and covers.
I'll give you on the Purdue mismatches. That's going to be way too much for the Peacocks, unfortunately. But it's going to be a very Peacock crowd. There's going to be a lot of tail feathers flapping in Philadelphia because it's right down the street. And then you get this atmosphere where you have a team like this in the tournament and it instantly turns into a home environment for them. So that's going to get them to cover. But yeah, Purdue wins.
Problem is with these types of teams like St. Peter's is they shoot horribly when they get to the Sweet 16. This is where it ends. And you have the matchup problem. But coming in, like if you were to say who's played best in this, if you did not look at the laundry, who's played best? St. Peter's is like middle of the pack.
Yeah.
At least.
I mean,
they played a great game against Kentucky and they were never in doubt against Murray State.
Yeah.
A very good Murray State team.
Right.
Can they handle this? You know, that's the question. You look back, like, are they going to get, they scored 85 against Kentucky, 70. There's games this year where they had, you know, 60s, 58. You slow them down. Ryder scored 58 against Ryder. 49 against Ryder again. That's the defense I would go with. Whatever Ryder was doing.
Don't have Oscar Tshiebwe either.
Thinking Purdue has got the athletes to duplicate whatever Ryder did. Of course, you would have thought Kentucky would have too.
To your point about not being able to shoot, we are talking about the 265th ranked team in the country in effective field goal percentage per Ken Pomeroy. So
I guess this says Purdue to me. Holloway's heading to Seton Hall. Everyone else is heading to BW3s. Run, baby, run. Great run. That's it. I'll take Purdue after saying all those nasty things about him. My Providence Friars representing Dunkin' Donuts. Scariest mascot taking on Kansas. Kansas is giving 7.5. The over-under is 141.5. Sully, who you got?
Give me the Jayhawks. As Pat was pointing out earlier in the week that, you know, Providence, everybody's kind of anointing them as an underrated team, and everybody's giving them their flowers as they should this week. They reached the Sweet 16. A lot of 1s and 2 seeds did not. So good on the Friars for making it, but now this is where they're running. It's giving Kansas.
Yep. I've been the Friar crank. I'll continue to be the Friar crank. Maybe they'll keep winning and make me look bad, but you beat South Dakota State and Richmond to get to this point, okay? South Dakota State, and a Richmond team that was nowhere near getting in this tournament until it won the A-10 tournament. Kansas is playing well, although they did struggle a bit with a Creighton team that had two major injuries. But really, Kansas is playing at a pretty consistently high level through the Big 12 tournament and so far in this one. Ochai Agbaji, one of the best players in the country, but he's getting some more help. They do need, again, Remy Martin has played well, the Arizona State transfer. They've been waiting for him to come on all season, and he finally did in Kansas City and then in the first round of that tournament. So I think they've got the firepower. They're not a great Bill Self defensive team, but they are certainly good enough to win and cover.
Rock, chalk, Jayhawk, too much. 7.5 is too low. I like them to win and cover. Sorry, Providence. Houston versus Arizona. These are the Thursday games, so we did the Friday, in case case Thursday, you're listening to this after Thursday. Going to be a little bit of defensive intensity in this one. Houston is getting 1.5. So Arizona is a 1.5-point favorite. The over-under, 145.5.
I'm going to ride with the Wildcats because I picked them to go to the championship game before the thing started. So I'm sticking with them. But this is a scary matchup because Houston's very, very good and will just make things harder for Arizona than Arizona's been, than Arizona likes it. That's not to say Arizona can't play a grinder, but they like to run and get out and go, you know, and have some freedom of movement offensively. Tommy Lloyd's a Mark Few guy, so he wants tempo and he wants movement. Hard to do that against Houston. They will make it hard for you to move freely. And we saw Houston is finding ways to score. That's been the big thing is can they score enough points? But they sure did against Illinois, made some big shots. They've got some guys stepping up there. Ben Mathurin, that's a high-level NBA talent for Arizona. Their big guys are playing great. Koloko has been awesome in the tournament. Kirk Creases been playing on a bad ankle. I think these days of rest in between rounds will help him get back to closer to 100%. And so I'm rolling with the Wildcats.
I will take the Cougars. This is going to be a big cat fight in a phone booth, and that's exactly what they want. Arizona's tough as nails, too. That's a really good team. But, yeah, I'll take Houston in the upset. I've been taking too many favorites here.
I love Ben Mathurin. Benedict. That's his first name.
Yep, with two N's, Benedict.
Benedict. He was a hockey player from Montreal. he outgrew it. This dude, I love him. Absolute man-child out there. It's my second favorite person from Montreal behind Patrice Bergeron. I'm taking Arizona to win this. Ends here for Houston. He might be my favorite player. Texas Tech Duke. Is this it for K?
Yes.
Sully already. Okay, we got Sully's pick.
We got Sully's pick.
Yeah. Sully takes Texas Tech in the interest of brevity. Thank you. Pat, who you got? Duke's giving 1.5. 137.5. They handle the pressure of the South Plains?
They're going to put me on deadline pressure Friday night because it is going to be the end for Coach K, and I'm here to ride it in San Francisco. So I think Texas Tech, too physical, too tough defensively. They will make things very hard for Paolo Banchero, who's really good, and the Duke guards. And this becomes a little bit of Mahler ball. I think how the game is called will be important. If Duke can get a tighter whistle, it will help Duke. But I just think that Tech plays a problematic tournament style, and Duke has been wobbly. They have been, you know, the last several weeks, I think, has been a bit of a toll on them. I was impressed. They did raise their game at the end against Michigan State when they were about to get beaten, and they made huge shots. But I think this is the end, and I'm writing Coach K's farewell late on Friday night.
First off, it's West Coast time. B, you're an internet sports writer. Deadline is not deadline. They're going to go to press. Do you know how the internet works, Pat?
I'm vaguely familiar with the internet. Yes.
Okay. Publishing a Sports Illustrated cover story at like 11:30 p.m. Pacific time on Thursday night? No, they are not. That's not how the magazine works. So stop your crying about deadline. You have no deadline. I expect like Rudyard Kipling level writing.
Okay. That's good. Dan Wetzel, who will be sitting in a bar Friday night watching this game, is
Thursday now, night. I'll also be there Friday.
Yeah. Telling me not to whine about writing.
What about deadline? There's no deadline. All right. Texas Tech.
There's going to be 97 Coach K columns. I'd like for mine not to be the 97th one to publish.
Let's just try to be first. Number one in quality. Quality, Pat.
Yeah.
Duke-Soft. Tech's going to just maul them. I think if this thing's close, we saw Duke panic when they were going to lose to Carolina, and the panic in these poor players. I did not foresee this, but now I see it. Like it is it's too much pressure.
Yeah.
The man's entire, even the greatest college basketball coaches of all time's career, his 75-year-old icon is on your shoulders.
At the free throw line, right?
Yeah. Yeah. Could we put a little more pressure on me? I'm already freaking out. It's the Sweet 16. Just play loose. Don't worry. Just play loose. How am I supposed to play loose? Well, the entire country is rooting against me. This man. Oh, my God.
I was just thinking the only greater pressure in a game probably didn't word get out about John Wooden's retirement between games at the Final Four. Like, they beat Louisville in the semifinals in 1975, then had to play Kentucky in the final on Monday. And on Sunday, word got out that he was retiring. I think that's the case. That was a win or die situation for those UCLA players. And they did. They won. But that would have been some pressure.
Yeah, that would have been pressure. But, I mean, this is incredible pressure on these guys. And we saw them not be able to do it against Carolina. All right, Michigan versus Villanova. Villanova giving 4.5 over under 134.5.
I'll take it, sure. Yeah, I think Michigan, I mean, shoot, they've been playing damn near perfectly the last couple of rounds. Dickinson stud, but I think this Nova team is going to do what Tennessee couldn't do and play a clean game for the entire stretch, not go into 8 minutes, the final 8 minutes, and start just peeing down your leg. These guards are going to hit their free throws. They're going to hit their shots down the stretch. It's this. You're not going up against Rick Barnes this round. So give me the
not even close.
No.
Yeah, no. Villanova executes. That's the thing. I mean, Michigan is a problem because of their size, and Villanova's not a huge team, but they've had to play against other teams with size, and they've done fine. I think they will be okay. Colin Gillespie's playing at an incredible level. Justin Moore is playing at a very high level. Jermaine Samuels and Eric Dixon have been good. So they've got the core. They've got what the guy who's basically been the best tournament coach for the last however many years, since 2016, since they won it. I am rolling with the Wildcats here, but I think it's going to be close. What's the number on it?
4.5 Wildcats.
Yeah, no, I'll go ahead and stay with the Wildcats to win and cover.
Since that championship run, 2015-16 season, Jay Wright is 18-3 in March.
That's not bad.
If you're going to pick against, though, I'm not saying they're going to win it, you better be really sure. They were so good at the end of the game on Sunday. I tweeted out, like, every possession, someone's open.
Yeah, right.
Like, they just are so good at executing that. There's so many bad possessions at the end of college basketball March Madness games where someone's dribbling the clock or hucking up this off-balance thing. Someone's always open on Villanova.
Yep.
They figure out a way.
Spacing. They're a great spacing team.
This is Michigan's kind of redeemed itself. This is a nice run, but they have a lot of talent. But I don't like it here. It's not enough for me to pick against Jay Wright. All right, finally, Arkansas versus Gonzaga should be a very fun game. It's going to be up tempo. Let's go. Can the Hogs run with the Zags? That's going to be it. Vegas does not think so. Gonzaga is giving 9.5. The over-under, though, a whopping 154.5. Okay, that's 9 points higher than any other over-under in the Sweet 16. So wow. This should be fun. I mean, that's whatever, 79-78 or something. 78-77.
Yeah.
It's a pretty good game.
I'll take it.
Yeah.
I'm going with the Gonzaga tournament experience. They want to play fast. Arkansas wants to play fast, but Gonzaga plays smart fast. You know, they don't just lose their minds, and sometimes Arkansas can do that. They will just get to flying around the court and go for periods of time where it's like, what all are you actually trying to do? They're very competitive bunch. They will not give in easily. It should be a lot of fun. They're super athletic. I mean, they will get up and down the floor, and they will get up in the air. So they are fun to watch. But I just think Gonzaga's got a little bit of the eye of the tiger. And again, the experience of, we've been to the Final Four, we're going back, nobody's going to stop us.
Yeah, I really like the Hogs. Jalen Williams is going to be a fun test for the big men at Gonzaga down low. JT Note, stud, very, very athletic. And so was Memphis, and they gave him a hell of a game. So I'm going to pick the Zags to win. But I'll take the Hogs. I'll give me those 9.5 points. I think this is going to be closer than the experts think.
I'll take Gonzaga to win and cover. That Memphis game convinced me that this is the team I think will win the national championship. Although I may have already picked them, which is why I'm in sixth place. I can't remember. Okay, briefly.
Again, bragging about what place you're in and not remembering who you picked to win the national
championship. Doesn't matter. I'm in sixth. I know what number I'm in.
It's an inconsistency.
Six. Yeah. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. It would take a long time. It would be bad podcasting if I counted all the way to your guys' numbers.
Whatever.
Quickly, Frozen Four starts this weekend.
Oh, all right. Who's in it?
Michigan, let's go, baby.
Michigan is the number one seed and the overwhelming favorite, and I'm picking Michigan. That's if you want to pick a team, go ahead.
Who else is in it? Is there a Minnesota team in it?
The top four seeds are Michigan, Minnesota State,
okay,
Western Michigan. It's really going well. Denver.
Right.
Minnesota is also in it. Let's see. How many Minnesota teams do we got? Minnesota Duluth is in it. St. Cloud State is in it. Last year, we almost had the All-Minnesota Final Four.
Right, right.
But UMass took care of that. Get out of the way, Minnesota people. North Dakota, Notre Dame, Harvard, all sorts of teams. You want to make a pick?
Yeah. Well,
go ahead.
You Michigan, call 100%. It? Owen Power and Luke Hughes, baby. That's a,
oh, my
that's
gosh.
A one,
you're dropping
punch.
Names even on us.
Michigan's got like 23 NHL draft picks on the team. Like, if they do not win, it's going to be a I don't know how they lost nine games.
The top five, right? Yeah. Luke Hughes was one of them to my New Jersey Devils, and they're going to win it.
I would like to take the St. Cloud State whatevers because my nephew went to school there, but I'm going to take the Denver University Pioneers because I grew up in Colorado. Go Pios.
All right. There you go. Should be fun. They got great regional sites this year. Allentown, PA.
Oh, boy.
Loveland, Colorado, which is basically Denver. Worcester, Mass, and Albany, New York.
Loveland's actually closer to Fort Collins. So
yeah.
But it's a nice, very nice place.
Yeah. There you go. Should be rocking. Should be rocking. Anyway, they play, and then they take a week off, and then they come back. Frozen Four in Boston. I'll take Michigan. They got a lot of good players. All right. Let's get to this update on the Push-It-T Filet-O-Fish McDonald's. Okay. As we played last time. The Pusha-T diss track, fish sandwich diss track. He absolutely rips the hell out of the Filet-O-Fish, propping up the Arby's spicy fish sandwich.
Mm-hmm.
Some really good stuff. A spicy fish diss is what they're calling it. This is...
what a country.
We who chronicle the chicken wars have been drawn into the fish wars. We're very excited.
This is a conflict that is spreading... to other fronts.
There is a backstory, though. Okay. Pusha-T claims, he has laid claim that he and his brother, who he used to rap under the name Malice.
Okay.
He now raps under the name No Malice. So,
He's taking a turn toward kindness. That's good.
Yeah. It's like when Ron Artest changed his name to whatever, going.
Yeah.
Right. Or World Be Free.
Yeah. Meta World.
What did Ron Artest change his name to?
Meta World Peace.
Meta World Peace, right, after, causing the malice in the palace.
Yes.
So it's nice, nice. No malice.
There we go.
No malice. Well, they got malice against McDonald's, and I'll tell you why. They claim, back in 2003, that they wrote the jingle and song for I'm Loving It, the McDonald's jingle. Sully, play the little jingle there. We've all heard it. It's one of the longest running marketing campaign in McDonald's history. Okay.
Even beat out Mayor McCheese.
What the hell is Grimace? What is a Grimace? Does Pusha-T, if Pusha-T can tell me what a Grimace is, I'll support him. I will go eat this sandwich from Arby's.
Hamburger.
Grimace scares the hell out of me. I understand what the Hamburglar is. I understand what the mayor is. But what is this thing? Okay. And why would it make me hungry? What? Anyway, that's another podcast.
That's a long podcast there.
All right.
Get into Dan's psychological scarring from the evil Grimace.
McDonald's paid Justin Timberlake and Pharrell Williams, who you may have known, also had illustrious careers, maybe a little more than Pusha-T, for it. So there's a lot of dispute on whether Pusha really wrote this thing. But he tells Rolling Stone, I am solely responsible for the I'm loving it swag and the jingle of that company. That's just real. I'm the reason. Now I got to crush it. So he was paid a one-time fee, but no royalties on I'm loving it, which I'm guessing was worth a lot of money.
A lot of royalties. Holy moly.
Yeah, that's played an awful lot of times on TV. I did it at a very young age. At a very young time in my career, I wasn't asking for much money and ownership. It's something that's always dug at me later in life. Quote, damn it, I was part of this and I should have had more stake. It was like $500,000 or $1 million for me and my brother, but that's peanuts for as long as that's been running. I had to get that energy off me. And this ad was the perfect way to get that energy. Like, you know what? I'm over it. So spicy fish diss comes from an emotional pain. That's what makes it ring true, Pat. That's what makes it ring true.
Clearly.
Not only is one sandwich better than the other, when he's making fun of the square fish, how do you trust the square fish? When he's saying it's only half a piece of cheese on there, when he's saying it's got no taste, so they have to drown it in tartar sauce, that's coming from hurt.
Yeah. This is a cathartic moment for Pusha, obviously, to be able to do this. So, okay. Now that we understand the repressed trauma of all of this, I hope he's sought therapy to get through it. Good for Arby's for helping him work through his pain.
I hope spicy fish dish has more cultural impact.
Cultural. If a fast food sandwich can have cultural impact, I hope it does too. So we had one of our listeners tried it and pronounced it far better than the filet of fish, right?
I think they did. I think we did get some of you guys immediately. This is why it's a scary influence. We're influencers, as we know. That's why Arby's should be sponsoring us.
That's right.
Or if McDonald's wants us to come back and make fun, I'm buying.
Yeah, we'll do the diss track back.
I'll tell Pusha T to go stuff it. Whatever. Whoever's paying me, I'm on their side. I think the Filet-O-Fish, I haven't had one in many, many years because I thought whenever I had one, it was terrible.
Yeah, no. It's
decades.
Not my thing.
But there you go. That is the full update on the Pusha T. So it's a little, it's angry out there in them streets.
It is, man. The fish wars have gotten off to a very volatile start, I will say. It was a quick escalation. See if they can catch up to the chicken wars. But I'm impressed.
Sully Panera is claiming they're going to start a fish chicken sandwich.
Sully,
they don't want none of this, man. That place is so overrated, man. It's like the meal you eat when you go visit grandma in the old folks home is essentially what Panera is, but they make you pay an exorbitant amount for your little, they give you an apple as a side. Like, come on. This is awful. They are going to get smoked by Popeyes. I bet Popeyes is not even shaking in their boots. They're laughing in their boots over there in Louisiana. Actually, I think it's in, where is Popeyes headquarters?
My question is, Sully, did you write a Panera jingle that you were not paid for? Because that, there was some.
There is some animosity.
Yeah.
The bread bowl's okay. They have some decent soups and bread bowls, but that's about the only thing you can get there. You get a sandwich, it's going to be very underwhelming. It tastes like hospital food, y'all. It is what it is.
I'm loving it.
It is overpriced, I think, for the product. Overpriced and slightly underflavored. Exactly, like wildly fired up for their chicken sandwich entry.
They try too hard. They can't pull off. Like, it's like it would work if it's, but it can't. Yeah, they try too hard. Anyway,
Panera's got that very kind of mellow vibe. You know, you can't enter a war with a mellow, like, you know, sit by the fire in there and
students are doing their homework.
Yeah, right.
On the free Wi-Fi, they're not
getting the bagel section. You got two different areas to go to. It's
that's
too much.
Not a war zone.
No. All right, let's end this. We'll let the stylings of Pusha T take us out. Play the song. Talk to you all next week when we got the final.
I'm the reason the whole world love it. Now I gotta crush it. Filet your fishes. Then you should be disgusted. How dare you sell a square fish asking us to trust it? A half slice of cheese, Mickey D's on a budget. Arby's crispy fish is simply it. With lines round the corner, we might need a guest list. Eggs is stage left, the sandwiches taste fresh. A little cube of fish from a clown is basic. Say less, this argument is baseless. Drowned in tartar, that Filet-O-Fish is tasteless. See, Arby's only deals in the greatness. I bet the house on it like it's Vegas. Look, I could sell water to a whale. How could you ever think I'd fail? Yeah, the crispy fish sandwich blazing trails. The mother clown's just too frail. Yeah, if you know me and you know me well, our fish is gonna tip that scale.
This is a paid advertisement brought to you by the unrivaled, the unparalleled Arby's.